The solemnity of Epiphany is one that I mentioned is about the manifestation of Jesus. The little baby born in Bethlehem is now made known to the whole world through the symbolic arrival of the Magi, of the Gentiles. This day in the church has also been seen often as a much larger feast than even Christmas. And it was on this feast in the history of the church that in the days before calendars, the church would always announce to everyone to make manifest the date of Easter for that year. Because as we know, Easter is always a different day each year because it follows the lunar calendar. And so it would be necessary to announce what day will Easter be this year. And so I'd like to begin the homily today with this traditional proclamation of the date of Easter. Dear brothers and sisters, the glory of the Lord has shone upon us and shall ever be manifest among us until the day of his return. Through the rhythms and times and seasons, let us celebrate the mysteries of salvation. Let us recall the year's culmination, the Easter Triduum of the Lord, his Last Supper, his crucifixion, his burial and his rising, celebrated between the evening of the 21st of April and the evening of the 24th of April. Each Easter, as on each Sunday, the Holy Church makes present the great and saving deed by which Christ has forever conquered sin and death. From Easter are reckoned all the days we keep holy. Ash Wednesday, the beginning of Lent, will occur on the 9th of March. The Ascension of the Lord will be commemorated on the 5th of June. Pentecost, the joyful conclusion of the season of Easter, will be celebrated on the 12th of June. And this year, the first Sunday of Advent will be on the 27th of November. Likewise, the Pilgrim Church proclaims the Passover of Christ in the Feast of the Holy Mother of God, in the Feast of the Apostles and Saints, and in the commemoration of the faithful departed. To Jesus Christ, who was, who is, and who is to come, Lord of time and history, be endless praise forever and ever. Amen. 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 Now, I didn't see anybody with their pens and pencils out taking notes on the dates, so I assume we've got those. And, you know, it's true that we've got our calendars now, so we might ask, gosh, why do we still need to do this proclamation of the date of Easter? It's not so much about the dates and the need to have them, but I think if you look at the theology behind what's going on in this proclamation, there's much for us to learn. Notice, first of all, that at the center of this proclamation is Easter. In fact, it says very plainly in there, let us celebrate the year's culmination, the Easter Triduum of the Lord. Easter is meant to be at the center of our year. Right in the middle of our calendar is Easter. And then it says, from Easter are reckoned all the days we keep holy. You might have picked this up, but even the tone of the chant is based on the proclamation of Easter that we sing at the great vigil of Easter on Holy Saturday, called the Exultet. The Exultet begins, rejoice, heavenly powers. And today, we sing, dear brothers and sisters, the glory of the Lord has shone upon us. Throughout the entire proclamation. The church wants us to be thinking Easter is what our year is about. From Easter are reckoned all the days we keep holy, that everything revolves around it. I think that's the key point of this manifestation of God in time. Because we're not angels. We don't live outside of time. We live in time. And so God must be manifest in the rhythms and the times and the seasons, as the proclamation tells us. Is Easter really at the center of our year? When we pull out our calendars, we're here at the beginning of our new civil year, where at least in my family, the tradition was we always got a new calendar for Christmas. You know, and so this weekend we got to put it up on the wall and you got to start filling in the dates. What goes on there? I can remember my mom, you know, would have to put in all the birthdays and all the anniversaries again and get the calendar all ready for the year. But what is most important? What do we fill our calendars with at the beginning of the year? Is Easter really that date that is just circled on there as what we're waiting for? The culmination of the year? We have to see then that the church is asking us to make Easter the center, and from it to reckon everything else. So as you look at your calendar at the beginning of this year, what are you going to put on it? Will there be time for a family vacation maybe? Time to spend with everybody all together? What are the big things you're going to put on there? How will it revolve around God? You know, the proclamation also says something else very important. It says, each Easter, as on each Sunday, the church makes known the great and saving deed of Jesus. Each Easter, as on each Sunday. The church wants us to see that what Easter is to the year, Sunday is supposed to be to our week. If we look at our calendars, our weekly calendars, what goes on there? How do we fill them out? Would we find a bunch of probably appointments, a bunch of to-do lists, things to do, people to see? What role does Sunday play? Can we really say that Sunday is the culmination of our week? You know, or do we rather kind of try to fit Sunday in to everything else that we want to do? You know, we fill up our calendar with all these other things and then, oh yeah, we got to get Mass in there somewhere. Well, let's see. We might could fit it Friday night, Saturday night. Well, maybe we could squeeze it in Sunday evening after we've done everything else that we want to do. And, well, maybe this week we're just not going to get there because the calendar is full. That's backwards. We've got to put in the most important thing first. Sunday has got to be to the week what Easter is to our year, the culmination of the week. That means when we fill out our weekly calendar, we've got to start with Sunday. To circle it on our calendar and say, that's the Lord's day. And then from that day, we reckon everything else, and everything else fits in around Sunday. That it can truly be the highlight of our week and not merely something that we try to fit in later. This feast of Epiphany, then, is meant to be manifestation of Jesus. But I think it's also a call that our lives need to manifest Jesus. Our lives, particularly if we look at our calendars, manifest what is important to us. What goes on those calendars first and what revolves around that? Our lives will manifest what is important to us. You know, I mentioned that this Feast of Epiphany was always seen as the larger celebration. Long before we celebrated December 25th as Christmas, today was seen as the big celebration. Presents were always given on Epiphany and symbolic of the three kings' presents that they brought Jesus. I think there's a theological point behind that too. Because you see, the fact that Jesus was born, a little baby in Bethlehem on Christmas, if you think about it, we didn't have anything to do with that. We have absolutely no role to play in Jesus' birth. It's a sheer gift of God. But his manifestation, that falls on us. We have got to make Jesus Christ manifest everywhere. How do we do that? Well, look at our calendars. Could someone look at our calendar and see what's really important? Does our calendar read, practice, practice, game, sports event, practice, practice, tournament, game? Or is Sunday noticeably empty on our calendar. God's day. Our lives are going to manifest what is important to us. We pray that we will manifest the right message. As we celebrate this Epiphany, we pray that our lives will be like that star of Bethlehem. It pointed to Jesus and led the way. We pray that when people look at our lives, they will see and be able to tell that our lives are centered on the culmination of the year, the culmination of our week, on God. That people can find Jesus as surely as they followed the star, that they can follow us. When they look at us, they will find Jesus and know what is really important, as today our lives help make him manifest.